Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station, ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Great participation again today. Bless you, Barry.
Thank you.
We are getting great tweets, lots of fantastic texts, and even calls. We appreciate that, because we love when we have an interactive show. And you guys have plenty to go with today, because we've got two teams doing extremely well with big wins last night. Again, only one game in both series, so don't get ahead of yourselves. But at the same time, there is nothing wrong
with enjoying it.
Soaking in the moment.
Because I can tell you right now that there probably are, and will be sports talk radio hosts all over the city that are like, it's one game. Don't be. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's true. It is. But enjoy the win. I mean, that's the whole point of sports, is to enjoy it. And how many times can you say that there's been a moment like this recently in this town? So enjoy it. Yeah. You may not win either series, but for one night, damn it, it was fun.
Without question, man. I mean, like I said, just here, bask in the sun. Just don't get burnt. Don't go too much. Get overboard and get, you know, bury at the Houston Golf Tournament, Open.
And get burnt.
But yeah, bask in it, get yourself a nice kind of glazed tan, and be ready to continue to move on. But so, that's why you tanning is pacing yourself. Burning is getting too hot too quick.
So Nick asked, pink, purple, or lavender, and the first two responses are magenta and fuchsia. And then Lauren Pope says it's really hard to not call that pink. And obviously, Lauren Pope is colorblind. And then Marco Villalobos said, I bet Nick got a chub when Charles started talking about big Latina women.
I like it. That was sassy.
I got one when he started talking about churros. I ain't going to lie. I was like, ooh, boy.
So that's the real deal in what Nick was saying, if you missed it. But I will say this. Charles Barkley did give Daryl Morey credit last night, and he gave the Rockets credit.
He did.
Now Tad Brown doesn't have to go say he was mean to us. He needs to apologize. He was a naughty boy. So we can step off of that ledge. But look, he gives credit where credit is due. He picked the Rockets to win the series, too. So there's something to be said about broadcasters that can just be honest, regardless of the evil empire that tries to rule your world. But at the same time, it was funny because, you know, in Charles's kind of dry way, Ernie, I got something I got to apologize for. And they're like, all right, let me get this in first. And all of a sudden, Ernie's like, so after 2.5 years of hammering the women of San Antonio, you now want to apologize to them? And he basically goes, yeah, man, last night I tried churros for the first time, and now I understand why they're so big. And then he said he tried them with vanilla ice cream. Shaq almost fell off his chair. I mean, that was classic TV.
Dude, that I missed it, but I caught up this morning. Like, on what? But that is vintage Barkley, man, and I love it. So funny. He is never going to relent when it comes to that, and I'm okay with that. Because I'm going to San Antonio tomorrow, and I've been there. I just got back from there in January. San Antonio has plenty of hot women.
Oh,
don't you worry about it, San Antonio. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of hot women there. There's some big gals, too.
But listen,
this is Houston. We got plenty of big gals, so it ain't like, you know, this town can judge.
Go to a Canelo fight in San Antonio.
Hot women?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I bet.
It's insane.
Can you do me a favor, by the way?
Sure.
When you're in San Antonio,
uh-huh,
will you text me a picture of you wearing a Spurs jersey?
No. Why would I do that?
Well, because it would give me the ammunition I need.
I see what you did there now.
See what I did there? I kind of led you down that path and you followed. I like it.
Sometimes it's Joel is like a choose your own adventure. You're not quite sure where this is going at some point. And then you get there and you're like, oh, okay. I see now. Yeah. But that, now, also, though, we know Joel was trying to get me fired. Let that be known over the air.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. I see how
you're
working.
Look at Nick.
Damn, Nick.
Wow.
I was just saying what Joel's trying to do.
No. No. That, you said it with a huge smile on your face.
Hey, I got a
Mr. Salty
I got
Pants.
That Charles Barkley audio if y'all want to listen.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's bring it.
Kenny Smith. Shout out to Kenny in New York. Baron Davis is here. Who do you have to apologize to?
I want to apologize to the women of San Antonio. Because, Ernie...
What happened? What happened to prompt this? This has been going on for a good
Ernie,
12 years.
I had churros last night. I see what all the excitement is about. I had churros last night.
Talk to them, Chuck. Ooh. Talk to them. What was they like?
Man. I had churros last night. Them damn thing good, Ernie. Them churros good. I see why they got all the big old women down there. Yeah, them churros are the bomb.
So bigger picture, kind of getting back to what I was saying too, people should step back and realize he's never going to apologize for anything he said unless someone makes him.
Yeah.
So step back and put yourself in the shoes of the whole Charles, Daryl Morey, Tad Brown deal. And realize the only reason why he apologized is because they cried to the league and the head of TNT, and TNT said, and he wanted to say he likes his job. But the fact of the matter is, that's what makes him so beautiful on the air, because he doesn't give a you know what. He is going to say what he feels.
He's also a guy that takes it like a lot. Like even like when Shaq gets at him pretty seriously, you don't see him complaining to the higher ups.
Find the audio, Nick. He also handled the Draymond Green situation. Very well.
Yeah, he did.
Because Draymond Green was asked, are you the next coming of Charles Barkley? And he F-noted it and said, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And said, and by the way, I got a ring. Charles didn't. Charles could have gotten all offended. It kind of goes back to how the Astros handled last night with their quotes and everything. They didn't get upset. They didn't blow a gasket. They just kind of played it off and said, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Well, that's what Charles does on a regular basis. So Draymond Green comes at him, and he just basically says, okay, you know, and we can find the audio and play it for you, but I thought he handled it really well.
I did too. I mean, kudos to Chuck, because that's one of those things where, but I think he learned his lesson from the whole LeVar Ball thing, like not wanting to get caught up in that for no reason. Like this was all, this felt very media contrived, and I think Chuck was picking that up. So he was just like, nah, you know, he's fine. It's whatever. He doesn't have to, you know, like me. But I like what Baron Davis said too. When Baron Davis started talking about, you know, a lot of these newer players forget, they see you guys and you're here and you're older and you're overweight. And they are. I mean, that wasn't a joke a shot at either of those guys. They're in their 40s and 50s now. But, you know, and he was like, but they don't realize back in the day you guys were some of the best at what you did. So, And I think that's a great point, too, that was lost in all that.
And speaking of Charles Barkley and back in those days as opposed to what he does now, right now I want to tell you about Sherry's Berries, because they're not just fruitful. And it's not just healthy anymore. You can make these things so darn good with some chocolate, with some sprinkles, with some chocolate chips, with some drizzle. These are the kind of things that Charles would love to get his hands around. And he can just like you can. And especially with Mother's Day right around the corner, what a great time to get the mother in your life or the mother of your children or your wife a nice Mother's Day gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving, because it's Sherry's Berries. Starting at $19.99 plus shipping, right now you get huge, freshly dipped strawberries, and you can double the berries for just $10 more. All you got to do is in the upper right-hand corner, use my code, JBlank. That's berries.com, berries.com, and put in JBlank in the upper right-hand corner when you click on the microphone. You get the deal of a lifetime, because you get for $19.99 all the berries, and you double the order for $10 more. It's a great deal, and like I said, you're never going to get cheated, because the gourmet dipped strawberries are fresh, succulent, and juicy, and they are dipped in chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate, chopped nuts, drizzles, chocolate chips, all these different things, and it's the gift that keeps on giving, because any mom or any wife or any female that gets this gift, whether they get it at the workplace or at home, will start smiling right away, because they know they are going to taste fantastic. And they are a special treat that you put some thought and effort into. So again, Get the deal for $19.99. Visit berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Up in the right-hand corner, you click on the microphone, put in J blank, you get the deal. It is a fantastic deal. So for Mother's Day, think Sherry's Berries.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects till 4. As we continue to talk a little basketball before we get back into baseball with Jeff Blum. Blummer joins us at 2:30. We covered a little bit of that Jazz-Warriors series. And the Cavs had no problem with the Raptors last night, which I'm sure didn't please you because of your prediction.
Not worried.
Okay.
I'm not worried.
But speaking of predictions,
yeah,
we didn't do second round, but real quickly, your thoughts on Warriors-Jazz?
LeBron had an awesome game. Was it 35 yeah. points and 10 rebounds? I mean,
I watched. Let me try that again. Your thoughts on Warriors Jazz?
Oh, I thought you said Cavs and
no.
Raptors.
We'll get to that one. Okay, but I just want to just real quick, like what you guys, how long was winner and how long?
I'd say Warriors in 5.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
Nick
against the Jazz.
Warriors Jazz, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Warriors in 6.
Okay.
All right.
All right, and then on the flip side. I mean, Eastern Conference, you mentioned it. Cavs, no problem in game one with the Raptors, but your thoughts on that series?
I still think the Raptors, I mean, I picked them to win. I'm not going to change that now just because of one bad game. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm not changing my Spurs pick.
Okay.
I still say Spurs in 6. I'm not changing that right now. Do I hope that I'm wrong? Hell yeah, I hope the Spurs lose. I hope the Rockets sweep them. Mm-hmm. But if you watch games and look at statistics and how these teams played against each other, I'm not changing that, and I still feel like down the stretch, the Raptors were the best team in the East after the All-Star break, and when this team gets it all together, when they play, I mean, Kyle Lowry was almost a no-show. When him and DeRozan are clicking on all cylinders, they can beat the Cavs, so I'm going to stick with it, but am I confident in the pick? No.
I'll say Cavs in 6.
But I'm not changing it.
I'll keep it short and dirty.
I'm keeping it. I'm still sticking with the Cavs. Yeah, okay. And if I had picked the Raptors, I would have stuck with Raptors too after one game. 6, I think.
Cavs
6.
All right, and then Boston and Washington.
I have the Celtics advancing
in.
I think that one could go 7 easily.
I would agree with you, and I am going to shake it up, and I'm going to take the Wiz.
So you're changing because you had the Celtics, right?
I don't think we picked second round.
Yeah,
games,
we did.
We
picked all the way to the championship.
I don't remember that. I thought we just did the first rounds and then we had in the title.
No, we went all the way through.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yep.
Okay.
But you can change it. That's fine. We'll allow it.
No, I think the Wiz will be in that series. I think you're right. It'll go. I would love it to go 7. I think the Wizards have more talent. I just, when you have a lead that big and you blow it, that's when you look back on it. You can't escape the fact you were on the road, had that big of a lead, and lost. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I like that game better, but 7-game series, do you really think of 7 games they'll go all the way 7 games though with the Celtics?
They're pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
That'd be close.
I do.
I think it could go 7, but I think the Celtics, I like the Celtics in 6, but
okay. I mean, and then which one are we missing? Did we hit them
ours? Huh? We're missing Rockets. Oh, Spurs, yeah. That's it.
So we've changing? Got anybody changing after last night?
No.
You changing your pick? You still have the Spurs winning the series?
Yeah, I got to stick with what I said.
Yep. Joseph Trevino on Twitter is trying to convince me that he tweeted and said, next time I'm in San Antonio, go to a place called Dough.
For
it's
pizza.
The best pizza. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm on a diet. I'm going to be there tomorrow and all weekend. I'm trying to lose weight. He was like, no, trust me. It's worth it. Have a cheat day. If I have a cheat day and I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
You're doing churros.
Yeah. I'm not going to get pizza. If I'm in Chicago or New York on my cheat day, I'm going to get pizza. But in San Antonio, I'm getting breakfast tacos for lunch and dinner.
Really?
Oh, I probably would. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
So not just straight Mexican food. You're just the
tacos. No, I would do Mexican food and breakfast tacos. I first of all, I'm one of those, I love breakfast for dinner. I'm a weirdo like that. Like, yeah. I could fry up some eggs and some bacon and some hash browns and have that for dinner, and I could probably do that four nights a week. But I'm not going to San Antonio to eat pizza. I get it. It's probably delicious. But I'm sticking to Mexican food in San Antonio. Just to, I mean, it'd be like going to Kansas City and getting hot dogs. No, I'm going to get barbecue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or so. Memphis is barbecue.
Or Memphis, yeah. Or a lot of places, but.
All right, and Nick was able to do the show a solid, and as he always does, he pulls the audio that we have just spoken about. So here's the audio. First, Draymond Green's thoughts on being compared to Charles Barkley, and then Charles's rebuttal.
Do you consider yourself the modern-day Charles Barkley?
Hell no. I'm the modern-day Draymond Green.
I'm talking about just for the basis of you say what's on your mind.
I was raised by Mary Babers in the Babers family. That's what you do. You speak your mind. It ain't got nothing to do with Charles. I wasn't a Charles Barkley fan growing up. So.
Hey, Chuck.
You know what? What's interesting about my life at times, I'd be sitting at home minding my own business. And people talk about me, which is interesting. You're welcome for the love, TNT. Listen, Draymond is a very good player. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I don't take offense if people are not a fan of mine. He's a terrific player. Seemed like a good kid.
You see similarities in your game? Do you see some of your game in his game?
I think that we're both undersized. He's probably a better shooter. A better defender. He's not clearly not a better scorer, a better rebounder, but he's a better shooter and a better defender.
Can he guard you?
Come on, man.
Talk that talk, Chuck.
I mean, listen, I love when guys talk about guys who can play good defense. I'm like, nobody going to stop me. Karl Malone, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, this stuff they talk about.
Of course, Shaq wanted a little love there.
On the power forwards. Settle down, big man. We're not talking centers.
And, you know, you were talking about it, and everybody fails to remember when these guys were in such tip-top shape. But, you know, I had the privilege of being very, very close to Charles and to that whole situation when he and Shaq got into it. And I actually walked in the locker room right after Charles and Shaq got ejected in the Old Summit. And Charles was literally on a recumbent bike. And I was like, you all right, man? And he was still, like, fired up. And he's like, you saw it? You go out there and you tell him you saw it. I picked that big ass and I threw him. I don't tell me that I can't do what I can't do. And I was like, and the more you think about it and you go back and you remember that day, not that they ever would have come to blows, right? It was just more like, you know, talking, shoving. But when you go back and look at the replay, Shaq was a mountain, and Charles was able to move that mountain. He had both those guys. And obviously, Shaq is just, I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah, of course.
But people underestimate just how strong Charles was, and he never lifted weights till late in his
career.
It's
cool to be a part of that history, though, because that was such a huge story at the time. And you mentioned it happened in the Summit, so I didn't even.
This is the one where he bounced the ball off of his head, right? Charles had
the
ball.
They got into it under the basket.
He shoved Barkley, and Barkley had the ball in his hands, and he bounced it off of Shaq.
So Shaq charged him, and then Barkley kind of like a football tackle. Yeah. Went low, got him behind the thighs and the knees, and picked him up and dumped him on the ground.
And some of you younger cats, go out and Google Shaq versus Charles Barkley fight, and you'll see.
Great fight.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of fun. somebody texted and said, you can't do a promo on Cherries when you've been talking churros for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, yes,
Where's the churro sponsor, damn it?
It's program versatility, but let's find the sponsor and we're in.
We need a churro sponsor. Is that even a – can we do that?
I've never even heard one churro sponsor on this station ever.
Then
but
there's no time like the present. Let's create the opportunity, which we just did.
Do you know what was a good place to get churros? I don't know if it still is.
Not the same gas station you get the breakfast.
No, Jack in the Box actually has some decent churros.
Jack in the Box is the only place I could think of.
They actually have decent churros.
Because I don't know, like, authentic spots to get that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't know. You've got to go to, like, Maitia and some, you know what I mean? Like, some just weird random Mom and Pop.
What was the gas station you said for the breakfast taco?
Stripes.
Stripes.
And Ike is sending me pictures of his dinner, which
looks so good.
Pancakes, eggs, and bacon. And oh, God, that looks so good.
See, as Nick knows, and I'm with Barry on this. I try and eat healthy all the time, but I'll tell you what, I'm all for breakfast. You give me some pancakes, and back in the growing up in the Midwest, bacon in my house was a staple, and now I can't get near it without already gaining 5 pounds. But man, woo, breakfast.
832 said Taqueria Randis Bakery has some good churros off 45 South and Edgebrook. So there you go, go get you some, Nick. 45 South and Edgebrook.
I know exactly where he's at, too. Yeah.
Go.
And Joe Trevino, again, chiming in just for you, Barry, said he's going to make you Mexican food and bring it to your door.
Nope. that same dude that said Taqueria Randa said Barry loves the chorizo. Stop it. It's not allowed, sir. You're blocked. Just kidding.
And a flashlight.
You're not. What?
And a flashlight. That was last week.
I don't.
Think about it.
Tell me off
Yeah,
air.
I will.
Well, I don't know
So Jeff Blum joins us next. We're going to get him on the horn. He's already promised, if you were watching the game last night, that there was a Doug Brocale story that he couldn't tell on TV. But he says he'll tell it on the radio. Might have to clean it up a little. But we'll even give him the opportunity to not clean it up so much because it is radio. But Blummer will be able to talk about Astros, Rangers, and the hot start that your home team has gotten off to and a whole lot more. So stay tuned. Jeff Blum next right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel, The Usual Suspects, as we do every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. A friend of the show that's a friend of the station that we are always glad to hear from and appreciate his efforts to join us. Jeff Blum, the television analyst for Root Sports and your coverage of your home team, the Houston Astros, joins us on the HR&P listener line. And Blummer, thank you again for joining us. We always appreciate it. But we kicked it around here on the show to open. But just from a mental perspective alone, and in comparing last season's team to this season's team, how big was last night's win?
Huge. It's good to be back on with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity, but it's huge. I mean, we can sit here and say that, you know, professional athletes don't pay attention to records. It's early in the season. But I think when you go back 2 years and understand that you've only won 10 games out of 38, it wears on guys mentally, and that's a history that I've been talking about. That's a history you guys have been talking about. It's a history fans have been talking about. So it kind of stuck in their craw. But I think with the way things unfolded, with being thrown at, they retaliate, they come back and win that game. I think it really did a good job of setting the tone and left a better taste in the mouth of Astros. But they're not done yet.
Now, Blummer, when you were here, when you played, that wasn't the mentality, right? Like I was explaining this morning that as a lifelong Houstonian and Astros fan, I always felt like the Astros were passive when it came to these type of situations. And a lot of that had to do with Bagwell Biggio, the way they handled themselves and carried themselves. So it's good to see that fire this time.
No, I agree. And, Baggy and Bish had a very professional attitude about things, and they treated everybody the same. I don't know if they believed in rivalries, but they came up in an era where there was no interleague. There was no natural rivals, so to speak. It was just go out and do your business and get it done. I think things have changed a little bit with the Astros moving into the AL West and being a part of a 19-game series against everybody in the West, including the Texas Rangers. When I played with the Astros and we had that interstate rivalry, I think it was a little more media-driven. We knew it was three games here, three games there, and then we'd move on and try and win the Central Division. So that's where the separation kind of occurred, and there wasn't enough time to let that rivalry mentality percolate a little bit. But I think what the domination the Rangers have had over the Astros has led to what some of these young guys are feeling and expressing out on the field between Lance McCullers, Alex Bregman, and some of the big hits you're seeing from Altuve and Correa. Those guys are starting to show the emotion of what this rivalry is beginning to mean.
And I was going to say, Jeff Blum joining us, by the way, on the HRNP listener line. But the one thing I was going to say is, in getting back to Barry's point right there about the way it used to be with Bagwell and Biggio, it was also don't ever give him any bulletin board material. And already Bregman had the tweet of, let's go out and kick the Rangers' butts. And my radio guys told me that it was actually on the bulletin board in the Rangers' locker room. And it just seems like they've got this kind of carefree attitude of we don't care and we know we're a good team. And we're going to play like that. And you're so close to this team. The other thing that stuck in my mind, too, was how many games a year ago on the road, like the Angels game, the A's game, when they were down big, big numbers, and you just last year's team probably would have mailed that one in. And they just keep chipping away. And they keep doing what they need to do. And they keep stealing wins. Last year, I think they'd have mailed it in. Just give me the differences between last year's team and this year. And you can just feel that energy.
No, the energy is definitely there, and these guys have a chip on their shoulder. They understand after 2015 the target was on their back. They underachieved last year, and now this is their season because they've gotten off to such a great start that they've impressed upon themselves that they are very good. Now, as far as bulletin board material, how about we just take that and understand where both these ball clubs are at right now? The Astros are confident. The Astros are very good, and they are talking a little bit of smack. On the other side, the Rangers like, oh, man, we're going into a series against the Astros. They're a better team. They had a better April. We're missing some guys. We're beat up. Our bullpen isn't doing very well. Hey, we've got some bulletin board material. Let's put it up and see if that'll fire us up. So I think the Astros came in with a little more purpose, whereas the Rangers seem to be limping into this series and begging for a reason to get fired up. And the Astros fired them up last night, and then they pushed them back again. So I think that it is a definite difference in mentality, but it's also that youthful exuberance and excitement tempered with, a sprinkled-in veteran leadership that goes out there and gets the job done. It's kind of fun to watch.
Blummer, Keuchel with another strong outing. Is he back? Is he a Cy Young candidate? I mean, is he 2015 Keuchel?
All numbers indicate that he's either 2015 Keuchel or a little bit better than that. He's been putting up great numbers, 5-0. The last time that was done was when Roger Clemens did it, I believe, in 2004. So there is reason to be excited about Dallas Keuchel. It will be tempered because there is some injury history there. You just hope that he's doing the work in between, which I'm sure he is, in order to keep that arm healthy and ready to go. But as far as I'm concerned, 5 outings of 7-plus innings, a complete game mixed in there, and the command that we've seen over this last month, I'm pretty well convinced. I mean, we're a sixth of the way through the season, and he has yet to be beaten.
How big, Blummer, is the addition of McCann? Just simply because of the fact that, now people are seeing the offense, and he's always been a good offensive player, but I don't know that anybody really had a grasp on just what a great signal caller and what just a calming influence he is on what is predominantly a younger pitching staff.
Yeah, I can't say enough about what Brian McCann has brought, and you're exactly right. We saw it last night. Last year's Lance McCullers in that same situation might have flown off the handle and gotten too excited, maybe lost command or tried to throw 98 miles an hour every single pitch, whereas Brian McCann is that stabilizing influence, and he encourages these guys to go out and kind of have that poised mentality because he's helping them and challenging them with their stuff and helping them understand how good they can be. And he's starting to unleash some of that in some of these guys. Even a guy like Dallas Keuchel, who's a seasoned veteran with the Cy Young, has been listening to Brian McCann. They have worked very well together. But watching the composure of a guy like a Joe Musgrove and Lance McCullers, Davinsky, these guys they were already good. Now they're getting better because they have somebody back there working with them. And, on the other side of the ball, both him and Gattis, McCann and Gattis, the two bearded bald guys, they've been raking and tearing the cover off the ball. They've been putting together some great at-bats, so it's fun to watch, man.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP listener line. Yeah, Blum, I recalled a couple of days ago when you brought up the fact that McCann kept asking for the changeup with McCullers. He had more confidence in it than McCullers did, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing, I think that's part of his job that he understands is that he's supposed to see things and help these guys in ways that they don't understand because they're so focused on pitch execution. And when you're standing on the mound, the game starts to move a little bit quickly or your mind starts to race a little bit or you don't see the pitch the way that Brian McCann saw it. Brian McCann is understanding situation, pitch execution, and he's also trying to understand the hitter in the moment, and I think that's what leads to him calling some of those changeups, because I believe I believe, like Brian McCann, that Lance McCullers actually has a relatively good changeup. It doesn't have to be filthy, nasty, Davinsky-style changeup. It's just got to be good enough to keep a hitter off balance and get a ground ball to second base, have these guys roll it over. And Brian McCann knows the situations when hitters are ready to rage on the fastball or maybe sitting on that curveball, that if he throws that 88-mile-an-hour changeup in there, he might get a swing and soft contact.
All right, now, when we said you were coming on the show, when we kicked off the show at 1 o'clock, and every since then, our listeners have been asking. Last night, you hinted at a story involving Doug Brokhale, and we want you to tell that story since it wasn't TV-friendly. I'm sure it's radio-friendly. Like, I get away with a lot on air. So we want to hear that story, Blummer.
Well, there's several. I mean, there was one in spring training where he was getting blasted in Kissimmee. And, you know, this is a real quick one. He's getting blasted. Guys, you know, we're basically playing with our backs to the field because the balls are flying off the wall. And he finally grabs the baseball back from me, turns to the outfielders, and screams at him, "Back the F up!" So right in the middle of the inning, he's telling these guys to play on the wall. And he looks at me and he goes, "Man, I don't have anything right now. These guys better back up." That was one situation. And then there was another situation. We were in San Diego, and he's getting rattled again. There's rockets coming down to third base. I'm diving out of, you know, I'm laying out, knocking balls down, and I'm throwing across the diamond. I finally take the ball back to him. I go, "Hey, dude, you got to knock this off, man. I'm going to die out here." So, you know, we've always had good back and forth, but he is definitely one of the more entertaining guys I've ever been around.
How about last night? Obviously, we don't know the details, but shout out to your partner, Todd, and hopefully everything's all right with him. But how nice was it to have Brownie back in the booth for one more night? Because it sure was fun listening to you guys.
No, it's always good, and I think you could hear the enthusiasm in Brownie's voice. You know, it is an unfortunate circumstance with Todd's mom passing, and, you know, obviously we wish him all the best. But to be able to have a guy like a legendary voice like Bill Brown to step into the booth is great. And why not have it be the timing of all timing to have him in there against the first Rangers series? So it's been good. He's always a calming influence, but he's also got some good baseball knowledge too.
All right, Blummer, full disclosure here. If I know you've probably never listened to the show, but I've been on a rant for years now that I absolutely hate the Springer Dinger, the saying. All right, I think that they're corny. Like, I think that like a Springer Dinger is corny. The Colby Jack I was all right with, but I feel like most of those are corny. But I have a favor to ask of you. I came up with one on my own, and I want to see if you would use this in a game. When Aoki gets that little slap hit to left field, can we call that an Aoki pokey?
And you're worried about corny?
That's the whole point. I want to make it as corny as possible. I want people to realize that we, you know, this is it's a little over the top.
Do you realize you're trying to impose on the integrity of my show, man?
I know, but I think that would be it's better than Springer Dinger. Who came up with that? Was that Worrell that came up with that?
I have no idea.
How is Worrell going to come up with it from a Rockets game?
It sounds like a Worrell saying. Let's be real. Like, that sounds like something Worrell would come up with.
Oh, come on. They hit their home runs from
Bumgarner. No, I can't give Aoki Pokey any time because I keep calling him Ted.
Yeah, you do. And on the air, I've caught that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, well, you've shattered my dream. I was really hoping to see Aoki Pokey shirts one day.
And we will say this, too, because we covered the grasshopper story with you the last time you were on, before you guys even hit the road. And then I was singing your praises up and down, going, Blummer took everything we took on radio, and he used it, and it was big, and they put it in the broadcast. And Barry's the guy who goes, "No, they didn't. They probably had that on the books way before you even talked to them, and it wasn't even a part of it." And I was like, "Oh, way to just let all the air out of my balloon."
Shattering dreams is what we're doing.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Well, you always make the dreams of Astros fans by stopping our show every now and then. We know you're busy. We know we got another one tonight. Go out and get another win. But we appreciate you spending some time with us, and always don't be a stranger.
No, I appreciate the opportunity, guys. You guys take care, and it's going to be a good night.
Aoki Pokey.
Oh, jeez. Jeff Blum, you can get him each and every Astros game on Root Sports, as well as on our show from time to time right here on The Usual Suspects. We're going to step away for a quick break, be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I think Nick was having a moment.
Go ahead.
Sometimes I wish you guys
say
would
what
hear
you're gonna say,
what we hear.
It wasn't on
say
the
it
air.
Now, Barry.
Bro. How are you going to get all up in my ear with... Hot.
It just sounded like my throat wasn't just, clear. It didn't sound like that.
Just smacking, thought you were having a moment.
Just smacking in my ear. What are you eating?
Bread. Love me some bread.
You're eating bread?
I tell him there is a kitchen full of food. I tell him there are desserts, there's pasta, there's salad, there's all these different things. And I go, Nick, did you? I go look in there in the production studio. He's got a piece of bread.
I can't do. I'm not a big fan of cold pasta. That looked like cold pasta.
Yeah,
there's a microwave.
I'm with you
dude.
On that. Cold pasta is stupid.
I just
cold pizza. That's why ESPN cut it. That was a show, by the way.
No,
there's a microwave in there. Just heat it up.
The pasta?
Yeah.
But if pasta's meant to be cold, do you want to heat it up?
Yeah, that's a good point,
too. You can eat it both ways.
No. Where do you stand on potato salad? Warm or cold?
Cold.
Warm.
See?
What?
See?
Warm.
I'll eat both. I'm a fat ass. Whatever. I'm a fat ass at heart. I realize I've lost weight. I'm not fat anymore. But I'll eat either way. But
I would.
What I've never... Huh?
You've never been fat.
What I am not opposed to, because some people, like my wife, she doesn't like it warm. She has to eat cold potato salad. So like when I'm making leftovers from like Thanksgiving or whatever, bro, it all goes on the plate. Like the potato salad, everything goes in the microwave, like all at one time. And I'm good with that. She can't do that. And you can't do it that way?
I can do that with Thanksgiving leftovers, but with potato salad, I've always been... In our family, it's always been a cold, and it's weird because in the Midwest, German potato salad, a lot of potato salads are warm, but in our family, our potato salad was always cold. My mom would knock it out of the park with some great potato salad.
Obviously, it's what you come up with, too. So, like,
and Barry.
But I can eat both.
Warm. Mom put bacon in the potato salad.
Ooh.
Oh, it was
now,
good.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Now, are you a mustard potato salad guy, or are you a mayo?
See, with you, I've heard these discussions before, too.
What?
It always comes down to the mayo with you.
It's a question, Joel. People put mayonnaise in potato salad. That's not.
People
I'm
put
not
ketchup
trying to
on
make
grilled
this sexual
too.
Like you.
No, I'm not.
You make
no, I'm
it
not,
sexual.
That is not where I was going with this.
I'm making this about food.
This is,
and
this
a
is a staple of the Laminack diet is mayo. Now I was
no, not necessarily. I use mayo
and ketchup on grilled cheese.
No, I don't do that. That's
so
silly.
In my family, again, and it may be different, but my mom always made a potato salad with Miracle Whip.
Okay.
No, never mustard. So it, not
never
even
mustard.
Not mayonnaise
well,
either.
You weren't
but
having
it
potato
was
salad.
Miracle Whip. Yeah,
you,
we were.
No. You were having something else.
Nope.
You were
in
having,
most cases.
You were
I
having miracle
mustard
salads.
Over mayonnaise,
and it yeah. was too.
So
you prefer what, Nick?
Mustard over mayonnaise in most cases.
Yeah, I
and warm.
In yeah. almost all cases, mustard
really?
Over mayonnaise.
I'm not opposed if you put both in there. If you put a little,
now my mom would do that sometimes.
Mustard and yep. mayo in there, and then it's warm or cold. Either way, I'll eat it. Like I'm telling you. But I know it's like I'm not picky. I'll eat any kind of potato salad, but I know a lot of people that are very particular. Like it's got to be mustard and cold, and that's it. That's the only way they'll eat it.
Same thing with just corn. Like if you have corn on the side, you can, you know, like if you go to like a sweet tomato, they'll serve you corn cold. Yeah. Won't touch
what?
It.
What?
Won't touch it.
What kind of animal is eating? You know what? I don't trust people. I don't trust people that eat
I'm
corn
sure,
cold.
Joel, I bet you eat corn cold.
Never.
Okay. Thank you.
Never.
Thank you.
And again, in the Midwest.
You know what I'm talking about? Like in sweet tomato?
I've never seen that.
If you go to the salad bar, you can get corn on the side and it's cold and I just can't eat that.
But isn't that supposed to be a topping on something?
Yeah, on the salad. On your salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's different than getting a side of corn that's cold.
When you elevate from lettuce wraps to the full salad bar, you could put the corn on there.
Hey, you mock me, but I lost, I was 183 yesterday.
0.6 pounds?
No, I was 183 yesterday morning. And I was 180.9 this morning. So my little two-day crash course diet is working.
Was somebody questioning your weight on Twitter?
No, why?
Oh, okay.
He just did.
No.
No,
I think on Twitter,
look.
I thought I saw someone. Maybe I'm...
Oh, yeah. Because the picture you took of the pink shirt or
right.
purple shirt, somebody said 187 my ass. I was like, no, I wasn't. I haven't been. That 187 was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
I'm, so I'm long like ago.
Yeah, that was the cheat weekend when I started off. I started the weekend at like 181, and on Monday I came
You're
in at 187.
Too much.
I weigh myself probably five times a day.
Stop.
But you know, you have to weigh before you or after you poop. That's the best. Because then you have to, like, if I get up in the morning and
you
I don't have
like
to poop.
2 pounds at most.
If I get up in the morning to weigh myself and I don't have to poop, I'm disappointed because I know I'm going to be heavier than I should be at like 10 o'clock. But then it's too late because now I've had coffee and your weight goes up again. I'm telling you, I'm obsessed. I am absolutely obsessed.
First of all, I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue that point. You are obsessed.
But there's
Do you watch Vision Quest in between poops?
What is that?
Oh, Vision Quest,
weight?
Yeah, for
no.
cutting weight.
No. No, but I have cut weight before. Not fun.
Oh, boy.
Not a fun time at all. Not a good time. Have you ever done it? Have you ever?
You think anybody uses quick weight loss to make weight, cut weight, and make
no.
weight?
No,
but that
probably not.
Why not?
Are you trying to pick up a sponsor?
Yeah, I was going to say pick them up while you're going at it. But I will say this: their success rate's pretty good.
You better stop eating bread. Your inner fat ass is going to show.
Dude, you could eat like
people
you
tell
can
me that
eat
all
the
time,
buffet.
Too.
You could eat the actual table it comes on and the lights and everything else, and you wouldn't gain a pound.
It's not true. It's
it
not
is
true.
True.
No, I portion size.
You what?
Yeah, you do. He does do he does because that's part of the problem for me is portion control. Like if I'm not careful, I will just like two nights ago we had a cheat meal. I had steak and potato
right.
with the wife.
Oh, potato's been verified now, okay.
And the steak was probably, well, it was an over an inch thick, and it was probably, I don't know, I would say at least a pound of a ribeye, and I ate the entire thing.
As well you should.
Easily, and it might have been more.
Would you have gone back for more if it was there?
Yeah, yeah, I totally would have.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm with you.
If you would have put a pound and a half of ribeye on my plate along with and the potato had nothing but butter in it, that was it, just a couple, you know, spoons of butter in it, that's it. But yeah, if you would have put 2 pounds of ribeye on my plate, I would have ate both without a doubt. That's my problem. If I put it on my plate, it's I'm eating.
Like if it's available,
yeah,
100%.
I don't like making homemade mashed potatoes.
I love making homemade
I'm
mashed
weird
potatoes.
Like that. I like the instant.
Oh, that's weak.
The Idahoan in the red package you buy.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
You rip it open, you boil the water, you put it in there, and boom.
No.
Bro, I could eat that whole thing on my own.
That is
easily
terrible.
Easily with a steak.
I can immediately terrible. I can immediately tell the difference between the instant and the homemade mashed
Yeah,
potato.
I can too. There's no lumps in it. It doesn't taste like I'm eating like...
Yeah, but steak to me has to be with a baked potato.
Though. No, huh?
Steak to me has to be with a baked potato.
Yes, yeah. We have baked potato, for sure.
Yeah, there's like certain meals where the... Like a mashed potato for me would go with like meatloaf or something like that. But I would say that for me, steak is always baked potato.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
I like
the
mashed potatoes, but I would totally do it with the baked
And the
potato.
Sleeper, au gratin.
Not
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you eat the skin of the potato?
Yes.
Yes.
I would.
Do you?
Yeah. Don't mind.
It's pretty gross. I'll eat it, but knowing that it's just
it's
dirt.
It's pretty gross
it's
that I eat it, but you'll eat it too?
It's dirt.
It's good for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of, but I have to really, really clean them good if I know, like, all right, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat the whole potato, the outside too. It's a lot of
dip
dirt.
Dip in sour cream, you won't notice.
But I agree with you on the availability part, because that's the reason why I eat so much at the Astros or Rockets, because it's like a buffet. You can just keep going back.
Yeah.
And get seconds and thirds, and that's terrible.
God, I'm hungry.
I watched Nick do some damage Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Astros Media.
Well, they had fried chicken, macaroni and cheese. They had, you know, the typical.
Yeah, keep talking. Don't stop, baby.
You had nachos.
We're going to break.
You had nachos.
I had some, nachos.
What else
nachos?
Did you have,
you had some nachos. What else?
Yeah, what else did you
I'll
have?
Tell you what. In the media room, their pretzels are like perfect. They're puffy, yet they're crispy on the outside. A little bitter, butter and salt.
Woo. He's recommending something he didn't try, by the way, again.
But they look fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm with Barry, though, on portion control. Like, when I have a cheat meal, there are no boundaries. And if I did that, like, more than one meal per week, oh, man.
I've seen you do that only once. And that was
I would come
Big
in here
Texas
with sunglasses
party.
And fall asleep.
No, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Go to break, dude. Let's go to break now.
That's when purple becomes pink. Here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.